I'm preaching on the subject, the love that pays off. And that's the kind to have, folks. Amen. The love that pays off. Amen. You may say, I just love such and such a place. Some people just love Florida. I tell you, you can enjoy Florida if you got enough $20 bills. Amen. Or an empty credit card. You. But it's expensive. It don't pay off. Amen. But this pays off. Hallelujah. There's a lot of you folks just love Kentucky for the longest. You went back every weekend. Amen. But you couldn't stay there because you had to make a living. I heard one fellow that left the Ozarks down home say he left there because of his belief. He believed he didn't get out of there, he'd starve to death. Amen. He had to go... had to go north to make a living. Amen. And there's a lot of things we may love that don't pay off. Amen. Let me begin. Seventh verse. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. You have stumbled close to divinity when you feel the love of God. Everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. I could preach on the subject, if you ain't loving, you ain't living. Amen. But I'll save that for a more sensational time. Amen. Herein is love. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. You know what propitiation is? Amen. This note here says it's expiation. You don't know any more than you did, do you? Amen. Hallelujah. A propitiation is a cover-up. Hallelujah. God covers up our sin. Hallelujah. Gets rid of it. Expiation. Amen. Gets rid of it. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. Uh-huh. If you ain't loving, you ain't living. Amen. It just come handy. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hey. Hereby know we that we dwell in him and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. Ooh, hallelujah. He equates the love of God with the Spirit of God. X equals X. Amen. Love equals Spirit. Spirit equals love. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever should confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. Everybody believes it, say amen. We got to believe it. We don't have any choice. It's our only hope for salvation. God is love. Let's say that together. God is love. Say it again. God is love. He that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. I don't even have to preach, do I? Amen. Herein is our love made perfect. Listen to this. This is where it's really made good. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Ooh-wee. Amen. That's when it's really going to pay off. There's a lot of people today talking about love, and they kind of pronounce it L-U-V. Amen. There's a lot of people today talking about love, but if they thought the Lord was coming, it'd scare them half to death. Amen. There's a lot of people talking about love. Hey, amen. But they're talking about mushy, sloppy agape. Amen. They're not talking about the love of God. The real love of God. You know, all these people talk about how we ought to have love. And how that we ought to love one another. Amen. You know, and they just about love everybody except us holiness folks. They love everybody and every preacher in the country, including the Catholics. But they take text on us holiness preachers. Amen. that old bondage bunch. Amen. Hallelujah. Hey, herein is our love made perfect. That's when it is complete, when you stand before the judgment. And you have boldness in the day of judgment. I didn't write it. The Bible did. I didn't write it. John did. Amen. It was already in the Bible before I got here. Amen. Listen to this. Because as he is, so are we in the world. Now, I'll admit that that's given me problems through the years. That last part of that verse. I'll just confess to you, I didn't know what it meant. If anybody would have asked me for the longest what it meant, I wouldn't know how to tell it. So I looked in every version and every paraphrasal, and finally back to the King James, amen. And finally, it just hit me like a bolt out of the blue. It means just exactly what it says. As he is, so are we in the world. Well, what was he? Huh? Was he sloppy agape? Huh? Was he up and down, in and out, any old thing goes? Huh? Amen. No, no, no. As he is, what was he? He was love incarnate. What will we be? Amen. If we really have him, we'll be love. We'll have love. Love will be perfected in us. Hallelujah. So there it is. It's so simple that I stumbled over it, praise God. Verse 18, for there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear. That's when it pays off. When all fear is gone. And we can actually sing and mean it. Oh, I want to see him. Look upon his face. There to sing forever of his saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. Cares all past, home at last, ever to rejoice. Hallelujah. Hey, amen. Why? Because there's no fear in love, because perfect love casteth out fear. Ooh-wee. Hallelujah. Because fear hath torment.
You ever see anybody that was tormented by fear? I've been tormented by fear. The Spirit of God departed from me at the age of 15. I was tormented day and night by fear because my hell had already begun right on earth. I was separated from God and thought I never could get back. And oh, what fear. I want to tell you that when that fear would grip my soul, my arms would grow weak. Darkness would sweep over me. No pleasant food looked good. Nothing looked good. Why? Because fear had taken hold on my life. It produced its own chain reaction, folks. I tried to run it off, avoid the issue, play it off, get away from it. I could not do it. I couldn't shake it. I'll admit there's times I was better than others, but each time it seemed to get worse, and life was gradually ebbing from my body. You know why that fear took hold in my life? Because I love something in the world more than I love God. I loved baseball. I loved the things of the world. I wanted to have Jesus and the world too. And Jesus told me I couldn't have it. And then I rebelled against the Lord. I know how about that too. And I said, I can have all this in Jesus too. J.D., my uncle, just 1 year older than me, when the Spirit of God departed from me, I quit everything. I quit my place on the Little League team. We even played the men. We'd drive all over the country and play on Sunday. But when we played at Britton Field, I would sneak down through the woods because I was going past Union Hill Church up there, and I didn't want them to see Brother Junior going to the ball game instead of going to church. And they were singing, oh, I want to see him. Look upon his face. And I was slipping down through the blackjack trees. Amen. Taking a detour so he wouldn't see me going to play ball at Britton Field. That was just a big old field out in the country that the country folks had built a backstop and drug it down. And that's where they met to play ball. Amen. I put it in front of God, in front of the church. I played on Sunday even. In fact, that's when we played on Sunday. By this time, I had started to Mammoth Spring High School. And I became the catcher on the high school baseball team. I wasn't afraid of that whizzing baseball and that swinging bat. And so they put me behind the plate, catching. When the Spirit of God departed from me, I told Mr. Estes, our coach, I'm giving it up. He couldn't understand. He didn't know why. But I left it all behind. I didn't feel God after I did. I was still in depression after I did. I was still in such dark fear. The life was gradually ebbing from my body because I actually thought I had waited too long. At the ripe old age of 15, I had one leg dangling in hell and life was slowly ebbing from my body. There was a change taking place in my body, a chemical change that I couldn't shake because of that fear. Amen. You know what most folks need to do? They need to get right with God. They need to give it all up, leave it all behind. Hey, you can never shake it until you repent. Amen. I was all ready to go to Todd's Revival a Monday night, and the phone rang about 6:25, or maybe a little before that, when I ought to have been on the road. going to the meeting because they start at 7. And this lady said, "Have you got a minute? I need to talk to somebody." She said, I'm depressed and I'm suicidal." And so what could I do? I sat down and I talked with her until 6:45 or 7. Amen. When it was too late to get to church on time. Here, in a nutshell, was Lisa's story. Amen. That was her name. She lives here in town. That's all she'd tell me. Amen. She was estranged from her husband. She's 7 months pregnant while in the process of divorce with the man that she's living with. And she's depressed. She's been to 3 different churches. She has the doctrine instilled into her that once a Christian, always a Christian, once saved, always saved. But she has attended two Pentecostal churches here in town. But what she falls back on is once saved, always saved. And so she told me, living with a man that's not her, 7 months pregnant and not married, that she was a Christian. And I told her that you got to repent. I told her, I said, you got to kick the devil out of your life. Did you know that there's some things that preachers can't do for you? There's something, I mean, Jesus couldn't help that woman at the well if she hadn't been willing to kick the devil out of her life. Amen. But she was willing to kick the devil out of her life. And that's just the case of this woman that talked to me until I didn't have time to go to church. Of course, I got another phone call a little bit later. Amen. It tied me right down. Amen. But here's the problem. Folks don't want to come clean with God. You'll never be free. You'll never be clean until you come clean with God. Amen. And so I'll tell you, the best thing to do is do that every day. Come clean with God every day. Let Him wash you every day. Let Him cleanse you every day. Amen. Well, didn't He say that if we walk in the light as He is the light, amen, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth. That cleanseth is a continued sense. Amen, we're continually being cleansed as we walk in the light. Amen, we're cleansed and take victory over doubt, fear, sin, and unbelief, the world, the flesh, and the devil, because the Bible said, as He is, so are we in the world. Let me ask you a question. Is Jesus trembling with fear? Why? Because He's right. He loves His heavenly Father. He's totally obedient. He said, whatsoever my Father saith to me, I'll do it. Amen. And so He is totally, He is 100% love. Amen. Nobody can doubt His love. He paid the ultimate price in love for our sins. He died that agonizing, shameful death, hanging on a cross, naked and shamed and scorned by the world. He sweat blood in the garden of agony that you and I might be saved. Amen. There is no fear in love. Amen. I kept praying. I give up the world. I give up all those things. I give up everything in the world. Amen. I mean everything. I could read a stack of comic books that high in one day's time. Amen. And, of course, didn't have TV, so we learned to read. Our kids would learn to read today if they didn't have so much to occupy their mind. Amen. And so I could read a stack of comic books that high. I mean, I knew all about Captain Marvel. I knew all about Superman. I knew all about Jack Armstrong. I knew all about Submariner. Amen. I knew all not to read. Amen. Oh, God, you're cruising for it. You're asking for it. Amen. There's no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear. Fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love Him because He first loved us. Hallelujah. That, my friend, is the love of God. Now, John makes it very clear that we can't love the world and love God at the same time. He said, whosoever believeth that Jesus Christ is born of God, Jesus Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth Him that begat loveth Him also as begotten of Him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep His commandments. Somebody mentioned about those commandments at school. Amen. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. And His commandments are not grievous. I thought He was trying to take my fun away. I didn't know He was trying to give me something better. It like to broke me, my neck, while He was trying to cleanse me and make me clean and get me out of the world and break the chains off. Hallelujah. He said, whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Hallelujah. Now, you can't love the world and be in the fight to overcome it at the same time. You can't love the world and be ready to face the judgment. All Christians are going to be judged at the judgment seat of Christ. And we won't have to fear. We won't have to tremble. We will be able to go bounding to meet Him. We'll be glad to see Him, look upon His face, there to sing forever all His loving grace, because the payoff is the dying pillow and the trumpet's blast to herald the coming of the Lord. That, my friend, is the payoff. Are you ready? If the Lord should come in the next 10 minutes, amen. You ain't going to want to look at Him if you've robbed Him. Amen. They might be some tightwads in heaven because they got saved at the last minute, but they ain't going to enjoy it as much. One fellow said he dreamed that when they showed him where he was going to live in heaven, he had an old ramshackle shack up there. It wasn't even finished. And he said, I thought we was going to have a mansion. And the angel said, that's all the material you sent up. Amen. We need to send up some material. Praise God. You ain't going to want to look at Him if you robbed Him. Amen. Well, I'd pay tithes if I could find a place to pay them. Amen. Well, you better find a place. You better find the body of Christ. You better find the church of the living God. You better find you a preacher and settle up with God, because you're going to meet Him after a while, and Jesus is going to tell you, inasmuch as you did it unto the least of these, you did it unto me. And there's another bunch He's going to say, depart from me into everlasting fire. Amen. Because inasmuch as you did it not unto me, did it not unto the least of these, the least of these, you did it not unto me. I can't afford to tithe. You can't afford not to. I'm too poor to tithe. I mean, you're going to be a whole lot poorer in the judgment. Amen. I tell you, amen, one of the things that's a dead giveaway is that we're living under the curse. Amen. I mean, you start tithing, things going to get better for you right away. Amen. I've seen brethren living in Poland, I mean right under communism, without a, pardon me if there's any Chinaman here, without a Chinaman's chance of doing better. They wasn't a card-carrying communist, they was a Christian. Amen, but I was in Brother Paul Chesler's new house that he'd just finished. Beautiful home in Olesnica, South Poland. Amen. And he'd gathered odds and ends together and God's people had helped him. And in that land where their money is not worth anything, he had built a fine house and finished it. He was on one side of a duplex. The other fellow on the other side was a card-carrying communist with all the advantages of being a card-carrying communist in communist Poland. But he was an alcoholic and his half had never been finished. I stayed all night with him. I had $24, $50 bills in my pocketbook left to give away. Amen. And I asked him if he thought he could trade his little old car that he drove all over the country to help God's men and wrecked it and fixed it. And it was one of those little Polish cars that they say in their Polish accent. It said, if it is painted green, don't park it in the field because a cow might eat it. A little car. And I asked him, I said, do you think you could trade your car in and get a new one for $1,200 American? And he said, yes, I could. And I count him out, $24, $50 bills at about 11 o'clock in the night in his house. Hallelujah. The next morning he was at the table. He said, I could not. He said, I was so excited I could not sleep. Amen. But he did. He waited till the right time to strike and get the right deal, and he was able to buy him a brand new car. I'm telling you, a Christian that's supposed to be poor and downcast, amen, and on the outskirts of the in crowd in the communist world, amen, God had blessed him with a new home and a new car. He may not give us all that, amen, but we're going to be on our way out when we start giving. We start tithing. We start giving of offerings. And we start giving alms. Amen. We're going to be on our way out. Amen. Why do we give? Because we love Him. We love His work. We love His church. We love His cause. We give for His sake. How much did He give? Huh? He gave it all. His last drop of blood. He gave it all. Amen. It means a whole lot. He may not ask you to sell all you got and give it to the poor and have treasure in heaven. But then on the other hand, we've got to have that attitude. Amen. He told a little boy, he said, we're going to have to take some blood, your blood, and give it to your little brother to save his life. He misunderstood. They laid him down and they prepped him. And they took as much of his blood as they could and to give to his little brother to save his life. And he laid there, kind of whimpered a little bit. And he said, when do I die? He thought he was going to have to give it all. And he was ready to do it to save his little brother. And if we have a love of God in our hearts, we'll be ready. We may not have to. Some of you have already, amen, give and give and give and give. And you're on your way to that hundredfold blessing that God promised He'd give you back in this present world with a few persecutions. But anybody that lives godly in Christ Jesus is going to suffer persecution. Hey, amen, we got to be willing to lay it all down. To go all the way. God help us. Praise God. We love Him because He first loved us. If any man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he's a liar.
For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? Amen. Well, I tell you, Brother Collins, I love everybody, but I don't like these preachers that's all time preaching on outward appearance. You got to love them too. You got to be a balanced Christian. Amen. Some folks got a right, they think, to love everybody in church except the preacher. And they feel like they've got a right not to love him because he's always on their case. Amen. Hey, if I'm trampling on anybody's feet, all you got to do is move them. Amen. Move them. Pull them feet out of the middle of the aisle. I had a blind preacher came to preach a revival at Old Dale Church in Dale, Illinois. Amen. And one brother, he always lolled way back in the seat and stretched, almost laying down. He stretched his feet out in the middle of the floor and put one on top of the other one. And this blind preacher came down across there and stumbled into this brother's feet, half asleep on the front seat of the church. He reached down and patted him on his big toe and he said, God bless the little children. Amen. You may sleep through every message. Amen. And you may think that you love everybody. And a lot of people want you to preach more love. Well, I'm answering a lot of requests. I'm preaching on love tonight. I'm preaching on the kind of love that works when you get to the judgment. Praise God. The love that goes all out for Jesus. The love that seeks God, puts Him first in everything. And you know what? He won't play second fiddle to any other love, nor to the world. Let's stand and pray. Father, reach down your hand, Lord, and touch our lives. Anoint us, Lord God, to have the kind of love, amen, that lasts. The kind that will stand the test of the blazing glory of divine judgment. When records are read and rewards are passed out, I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. As they sing, we invite you to an altar of sweet surrender. Amen. Let Him wash you real often. Let Him wash you real often. Amen.
He let the splendor of heaven, knowing His destiny,
holy hill of Golgotha, that You lay down His life for me. Stars in the sky, and the sparrow can't fly. If that isn't love, then heaven's a myth. There's no feeling like this. If that isn't love,
He left the splendor of heaven, knowing His destiny was a lonely hill of Golgotha, there to lay down His life for me. If that the sparrow can fly. If that isn't love, then heaven's a myth. There's no fear.